All right, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we are going to talk about inspiration. And the title of this is Given by Inspiration, What Saith the Scriptures? So I'm not going to ask you what the Bible scholars say about it, because I already know. But I'm not going to ask you what many, and when I say very specific, I mean the King James Bible and what I'm talking about today. Very specifically, the book that you hold in your hands right now. I'm not concerned with something someone used 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago in that sense. Now, I do tell the history of it and will continue to do that. But what I'm concerned with is that you understand what you hold in your hand are the very scriptures from God that God wanted you to have. But I think it's important to define what that is, what the scriptures are. And so we're gonna go through the Bible today. We're gonna go through the Word of God today, the Scriptures, and we're gonna look at nearly every reference that the Bible has for Scripture, because I'm doing that for a reason. You see, that's pretty simple. That seems like a very simple thing to do. Yeah, it is very simple, but it you should understand that God meant it to be simple. Amen. Scholars like to make things confusing. God never meant for you to be confused about this. He wanted it to be simple. He made it simple for us. He did all the work. He made it very simple for us to understand. So, but I want you to, because there's a lot of people that have, you know, they ask, there's questions that are thrown out there that are asked. Can translations be inspired, or are translations inspired? Or did God preserve and inspire, did he inspire and preserve the Bible in the original languages or the original autographs, and are those the only ones that are inspired? And people tend to, you know, King James only people, even in that claim that position, sometimes they read this verse a little, they read it wrong. Now they read it right, but they interpret it wrong. What do you mean by that? Well, let's look at what it says here in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So let's stop there. Now, some of them in their practice and their doctrinal statements actually say it this way. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God.
Right.
Well, that's not what it says. That's present tense. You want to know why it is? It's right now. You know why? Because this Bible, this book right here that you hold in your hands is alive. It's living. I'm going to show you today. It speaks. It talks. Right? This book, God, Paul said it did. Paul describes what it does. Describes what this book does. What these scriptures do. He describes it. I'm going to show you that today. I'm going to show you that, and I've made no secret about it. That I firmly believe that this is the inspired, infallible Word of God.
Amen.
This. I'm not speaking of something that you can't hold in your hands.
Right.
I'm speaking of this one. Right? The one that you have. The Scriptures that I'm preaching out of. The ones that we're going to go through today and I'm going to show you. I think that's vitally important to make that declaration and to make that clear. Like, I don't want anybody to be confused. I want you to be, so then they say, well, man, you're way far on this, or way far to the right, or you're pretty strict about this. No, I believe I'm just biblical, but I believe exactly what Paul believed when he was talking to Timothy. I believe the same thing they did.
Right.
I just believe the same thing the apostles did. The same thing Jesus did, and I'm going to show you. It's the same. Like, I don't think anything happened to make anything inferior through that God's promises failed.
Right.
That there's no continual inspiration. That, oh, inspiration. Well, this is a living book, isn't it? It's alive, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
The words of God are quick, powerful, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
So you have to believe they're alive. You have to believe that this is the living word, right? That their words are alive. This book is alive. It's not dead. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be confused. You're going to be looking for some scholar to give you what you need, and you're not going to get it right from God's Word. You got to get it right from here. And you got to know what you believe about it. I'll tell you what I believe. I don't know what you believe. I'm just telling you what I believe about it, what God has showed me. That, and even more, the more I study it, the more I believe it. The more I've researched it, the more I've looked into it, the more I've read people that disagree with the position that I hold, the more I believe the position that I hold is the correct one.
Right.
Like, so I haven't been hurt by any of them.
Right.
Because I believe it very plainly. So that's important to understand. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into it here. And I don't know if we'll finish it here. We might pick it up this afternoon and finish the rest of it. There's also a few quotes. There's part of this chapter that I want to read you and given by inspiration by William Grady. He has a chapter on inspiration in here that I think it's very inspiring. And I like it because it's plain speech. And, of course, you know how I like plain speech. I don't know why he chose this color, but it's pink. I don't really like it. But anyway, but this is the Christian Handbook of Bible Scholar, Biblical Scholarship by Ruckman and Peter Ruckman. And obviously he's passed away and gone on to receive his reward. But the point is that some of the things that he says in here are accurate. And just because you don't like the way he says it or what he says doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean I agree with everything he says, because Peter Ruckman calls himself a Protestant, and I'm not a Protestant.
Amen.
I don't agree with him on everything. I don't agree with him on his position on abortion and the things he said about that. But when it comes to the Word of God and what he says about that and the thing and the documented evidence, I'm not going to turn away from it just because somebody that I don't particularly agree with on certain subjects and I think they're wrong about certain things, I'm not going to discount everything they say about it. Because what he's saying is accurate. What he's saying is biblical. And what he's saying is historically factual. But anyway, so we'll get to that. That doesn't mean I, again, that we follow everything, but we do follow the truth. That's what we do. No matter who says it, right? We want to have the truth. So let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray you'd bless us now and help us in our understanding. And guide our steps, Lord, as we go through the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to give you some opening comments here before we get to the actual scriptures. I have about probably 50 of them, and then I have some things at the end that I want to do. I figured this would be a two-parter anyway, is how it would end up being. So I'll probably finish it this afternoon, Lord willing. But this is one of the most famous verses that ever used in order to prove that the scripture is given by inspiration of God. Right, it's one of the. I mean, it's one. There's two times inspiration is given in the Bible. Once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. And I'm going to read you later on this afternoon, Lord willing, some things that Bill Grady says about that, which I think is fascinating. The things that he put together about that. I read his first book, Final Authority, and then I read this book. Most of it, I'm not quite finished. There's a few things left at the end that I haven't finished yet. But most of this book that I've read. And while there's some things that I disagree with, they're not on the Bible text issue. They're on other things of interpretation of different things, of dispensationalism and a few other things like that that I wouldn't quite agree with. But as far as the textual issue, I don't disagree with anything he said about it. You know, because here's the problem. We've come to a place that we're afraid to defend this book right here. We're afraid to stand for it because they're afraid of what scholars will say and what others will say. Like, it's an impossible thing that God could inspire and preserve his words in English right here for us to have right here, that it must be in the Greek and the Hebrew, and that must be where it's found today. It's like this. There's a really real problem with people. Usually it's people that go to college. They have the...
Yep.
They go to Bible college, and then they really have a problem with that. It's real hard for them to understand that. Well, listen, many men pay lip service only to this verse. But do they truly believe what this verse says? Do they truly believe the book they hold in their hands is that very scripture that is given by inspiration of God? Or do they say one thing and mean something completely different by what they do and teach? See, you can teach one thing but talk yourself out of it in everything else you teach. Or explain yourself out of it and everything else you teach. I mean to never explain myself out of any of that. I believe this is the inspired, perfect, infallible Word of God right here. And I don't apologize for that. I believe it was a gift of God. And I believe we have it for that purpose today. And I believe there's plenty of internal evidence for that. And there's also much external evidence for that. That has shown that. So I don't have a problem with stating that. And I don't mean to apologize for that in any way. My stand on that. And I don't, you know, I don't have to be in the verbal plenary inspiration group because that's the phrase that they coined about what inspiration is. I better know what inspiration is from here.
Amen.
I better know from the eternal, from internally, from the words of God here, the scriptures, what inspiration is. Well, you know, the historical camp group is verbal plenary inspiration, and it's this way, and this is how it has to be. Well, who says? You? I didn't go to your college. I didn't pay you any money to make me stupid. I don't need to do any of that.
Amen.
I just believe what God says, and I'm allowed to do that, by the way.
Right.
I'm actually allowed to believe that over what you might think.
Right.
Right? That's plain speech, I know. It's important, though. You know why? Because men are all around you are going to fail, but this book will not fail you. Do you understand that? And if your faith is in the men that are around you, then you are going to fall with them. That's how it works. But if your faith is in this book and you believe what God says and you hold to it, clench it as tight as you can, right? You'll be fine. God will see you through it, won't He? But here's the question. Is Scripture to them something that was given by inspiration of God, as in the originals? It's important to note that no one has seen an original autograph for nearly 2,000 years. And if they did, they couldn't read it to save their own life. And that's just truth. So then you simply have to define the terms. Does this verse say all Scripture was given by inspiration of God or is given by inspiration of God? When men say we decide everything by the Word of God, but then go on to define the Word of God that is infallible as something different than they are holding in their hands, then they really don't believe what they're saying. That's confusion. Isn't that a problem? Is it a problem for you? Because it is for me. Because if you on the one hand are preachers of the Scriptures and are inspired, and that you settle everything by the Word of God, and I come to find out that in your statements you don't really believe you have the Scriptures, that's a real problem, isn't it? It is. What I believe about the Scriptures must come from the Scriptures. If it doesn't, then I may have fell for man's philosophies and human reasoning. I must have a final authority that settles it all. And it must be this book that I hold in my hands. It must be this one. Not one that is in 5,000 manuscripts or one that is found in Egypt or in the sands or in the Qumran caves. The Dead Sea Scrolls. It must be the one I have in front of me. Because God never meant for me to go digging around in the dirt to try to find the Bible.
Amen.
He didn't say, well, you're going to have to dig it up. It's somewhere in the sand somewhere. You need an archaeologist to find it for you. God was just waiting around for the Qumran caves discovery so you could have the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? Or waiting for Tischendorf to go play over at the monastery before he went and visited the Pope and had a grand old time with him. And then produced the same manuscripts that Origen already had. And that possibly two of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, two of the same manuscripts that Constantine could have commissioned. What's his name? Help me out here. Origen. Eusebius to gather together 50. Eusebius, his boyfriend, well, he had a man crush on him. Did you ever read what Eusebius said about Constantine? It was a bromance big time. You have to listen to how he talked about him when he walked in the room. The glory that Constantine had when he walked in the room, and how he glistened and he shined when he walked in the room. It was gay. All right. It just was. And Eusebius was a wicked man, and so was Constantine a wicked man. Both of them were. But anyway, Constantine killed his own children. But I'll take his Bible version. That's the one I need. That he got from Origen, which is what they got. The Hexapla. It's all the same thing. It's all fables and all that stuff. Anyway, so men desire to talk you out of the book that is in your hands today. The book that was the grand bulwark of the Reformation. It broke kingdoms in the spiritual darkness of the Pope and made a land of opportunity that saw churches planted all over the world and the gospel preached in distant lands from men and women read in the very book you hold in your hands. So then, do I believe what I'm holding in my hands to be the Scriptures? Well, if I do, then I will believe more than what many apostate fundamentalists have believed for the last 100 years. Man, I could give you statement after statement from fundamentalists. Yep. Take John R. Rice, for instance. He's one of them. Yep. And I like what John R. Rice said about the home. I read his books on prayer in the home, and I think they're exceptional. And even Bill Grady said it. He said John R. Rice was great on the home, but he was horrible on the Bible text issue. Absolutely horrible. He stood up and supported the ASV and the NSV and every other HIV you could find. And he supported those books, and he stood up. And he would, and so he wrote a book called Our God Breathes Book, and somebody asked him, well, which one is that? Which one is our, and he didn't answer that question. He didn't believe the King James was the perfect word of God. He didn't believe that. He did not. And Hiles only believed it when he got in trouble and he needed to cover for his plan, so he brought on Gail Ripplinger and he didn't really believe it either. He didn't really believe it either. And plus, they had that dog out in Florida barking at him all the time, telling them that, well, why do you guys say all this stuff about fundamentalism? Peter Ruckman said it to him, but you don't even believe what you're saying, because you don't even believe you have the Bible. And that's what caused him to have that pastor school belt. That's just history. That's plain as day. That's the history of it. Plain as day. That's what happened. And also, he was in trouble for a few other things. I also was, but we won't get into that. Anyway, we'll just keep moving. But it was a great cover. But you know something? The truth is that what you hold in your hands today, you either believe it or you don't.
Amen.
You either believe it's the Scriptures, it's the infallible and perfect Word of God, or you don't. If you don't, you better go find the one that is. Because there's one absolute truth in this world. And there's one, and it's the one that you have right here.
Amen.
And my goal and my aim is to mightily convince you with the Scriptures today that this is so, just like Apollos did. What did he convince them with? He mightily convinced them with the Scriptures. That's what I want to do. Amen? That's a noble cause, isn't it?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's look at it. Let's see. But I want to read you a statement here real quick. We believe that the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, was given by inspiration of God, and is our only rule in matters of faith and practice. We believe God has preserved His Word for us today. Now, most of that statement I don't have a problem with, except the beginning of it I have a real problem with. Was given by inspiration of God. Well, what are you talking about then? Right? What are you talking about? When was it given by inspiration? And then you go to some of the other ones and they'll say in the original autographs and preserved in the Greek and the Hebrew and everything else. Well, you know, I have friends that hold that and I believe they love God. I believe they're saved people. I believe they do love God. I believe they're sincerely wrong.
Right?
Right? I just do. Because this is an eclectic text. It's not what they say. This is not an English version of the Textus Receptus. You understand that, right? I've showed you that. Once. I'll show you again in the future. We'll talk about it again. But it's not. It's an eclectic text. That's what it is. It's not the Textus Receptus in English.
Amen.
That's what they'd have you to believe.
Right.
But it's not. That messes people up right there. That's right. Because they believe it's that there's something wrong, right? Because, you know, they have to go back to the Hebrew. If you need clarification, you must go back to the Hebrew and Greek to get clarification on these English texts. Okay, that's what you believe. Anyway, well, let's look at the word Scripture here. I'm just going to give you the definition that Webster gives of Scripture. Then we're going to get into the Scriptures. But he says it's appropriately, and by way of distinction, the books of the Old and the New Testament, the Bible. The word is used either in the singular or plural number to denote the sacred writings of divine oracles called sacred or holy as proceeding from God and containing sacred doctrines and precepts. There is not any action that a man ought to do or forbear, but that the Scripture will give him a clear precept or prohibition for it. Compared with the knowledge which the Scriptures contain, every other subject of human inquiry is vanity and emptiness. Amen. I agree with that. It really is. Everything else that we try to search out or study ends up being vanity, vanity, all is vanity, except the Scriptures, right? They're not. They're never vanity. There's never a vain time to open up the Scriptures. It's never vain to open up the Scriptures and read. Never vain to study them. Never. Never. It's always profitable. Because God promised it would be. Right? So, what does the Bible say about the Scriptures? It's a good point. The first time we see it is in the book of Daniel, though. Daniel chapter 10. I want you to turn there. The word scripture is used. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 10. We're gonna look at this. And we're going to look at a lot of them here. I believe it's verse number 18. We're going to start with verse 18 anyway. Lots of Bible for you flipping around here today, but that's good, right? It's good to be in the Bible. Amen. Then there, verse number 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Do you find it interesting that an angel comes to Daniel and just shows him things that are already noted in the scripture of truth? That's what he said to him. He calls it the scripture of truth. That's the first thing we see. The scriptures are truth. When you see it from the Bible, when God says the scripture, it's truth. That's what it is, plain and simple. God's words, they're truth. By the way, it's important for you to understand that when the Bible uses the word scripture, I'll read you a quote here that I think is profitable. Hang on one second here. Not that one. But one at the beginning here, this. It's on the actual name scripture. And did you know that, let me find that, I can't find it right this second, but that's okay. Oh, here it is. The word scripture in the Bible is always used of copies or translations. And never once is it referring to original autographs.
Amen.
Never once. Every time it's mentioned. And you're going to see that today. That's the premise of what I'm showing you. Never is it referring to an original. It's always referring to a copy or a translation. What's referring to always. Why is that? Well, Jesus Christ read the scriptures. The Bereans studied the scriptures. The Ethiopian eunuch had them open on his lap, right? They all had copies. That's what you have. You have a translation, you have a copy. That's what you have. Because that's the way God promised to preserve it. That is the way He promised, right? So, that word script is an interesting one. I learned this from Bill Grady in his book. A small writing, that part of scripture, that word script, a small writing, certificate, or schedule, a piece of paper containing a writing. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the best way to slay a giant. He calls it a nugget in English. Because people talk about Greek nuggets, you know, you can learn from the Greek. He calls this the English nugget, or one of them, in 1 Samuel 17, 40. That word script, right? You know, that's where we get the word scripture, right? We get it. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. About that. And his sling was in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. You know, if you're going to defeat the giants and if you're going to have victory in your life, you're going to do it with this book. You're going to do it with the script. You're going to do it with the scriptures. That's how it's going to happen. And that's what he was showing, one of the greatest battles ever David had with Goliath, right? And how does he win the battle? It's not by any other way but by this book. Same way Jesus taught you, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isn't that interesting how God did that? Now turn to Matthew chapter 21. Because the word scripture is only used one time in the Old Testament. The rest of the time is in the New Testament. Well, isn't it interesting that the greatest battle that has ever taken place is over the New Testament? Isn't that something? Well, God made sure you understood. Then, so he put that word scripture in everywhere in the New Testament, so you understand that's where the battle is. That's where the fight is over. It's over this book right here. It's over the New Testament. And so why? Because that's the saving power. That's where everything from the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. It's explained. It's taught to us. what everything was being said in the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you that. Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Did ye never read? Well, the first thing we see is that you're to read the Scriptures, right? That's the one thing we see. You and I are to be in the Scriptures. If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, do you believe the Scriptures the Jews were reading were the so-called originals? Nope. They weren't walking around with the stone tablets that Moses had. They weren't walking around with all the original. What were they walking around with? Copies.
Yep.
Right? Copies. Right? And Jesus is saying, what does that mean? It means they, number one, they could read, they had the Scriptures. And number two, they could read the Scriptures. Because he's challenging them to do it. So they had to have them. Right? They had to have the inspired Scriptures. You understand this? I am going to drive this home 50 times to you in this, so you understand it. This is where your trust must lie, that God did this. And you have to believe that. You have to. Right? So now that we learn about the Scripture, is it that copies can be inspired that we've seen? You'll also notice that the Scriptures are to be read, that Christ expected that. God expects you to read them too. He didn't just give them to you so you can brag about how you have them. You're supposed to read them. That's the one thing he says here. Christ said it. He says in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 29, look at this. Matthew 22:29. Jesus answered and said to them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. You ever watched a bunch of these people that don't have the Scriptures? They got their NIVs, they got all their, they don't have an inspired book at all, and they have no power when they speak, for the most part, most of them. They have no power, no conviction. What did Jesus say? He answered and said to them, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. If you don't know the Scriptures, then you're gonna err. You're gonna fall. You're gonna fail. You won't have the power of God either. That word err, by that word err means, it means to wander from the right way. To deviate from the true course or purpose. Jesus said the Scriptures are inspired and they're the true course and purpose of your life. You want to know how to live? Here they are. How then should we live? It's right here. This is how. And Jesus said when you're not in them, you err. You're wrong. Right? It means that word error means to mistake, to commit error, to do wrong from ignorance or inattention, to wander, to ramble. If you leave the Scriptures that are in your hands, you'll wander out of the way quickly. Matthew 24, verse number 53 through 56, I believe. Again, Jesus had much to say about the Scriptures, didn't he? And by the way, can you tell, like, he's talking about copies that they had, and they had them right there before them, and he expected that they had them. Have you never read? Have you not read? That was his answer to them. When they had a question, he wasn't waiting for downloads from heaven, right? He wasn't speaking out of wisdom that was outside of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. He's using the Scriptures every time when he's correcting them.
That's right.
He's not teaching them new things. He's teaching them the same old things. That's why he takes them back to the Scriptures. Just what you need and I need. Well, you don't need new teaching. You need the same old teaching. You need the same old book. That's what you need. That's what I need to live. Praise God, we don't have to invent something. I don't have to look very hard for something for you to preach. Because if God didn't give me an outline for something for you to preach, I'd just open up the book and start preaching it to you. Because it's all right there. Amen? Matthew 24, 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray? I might be off on 24. That might be 26. Is that 26? Yeah, I think it might be. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That is 26. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled? You're going to find this phrase over and over again that is said from here on out after Jesus says it. over and over again, this phrase, shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Over and over again, you're going to find that. Jesus driving that home, and the Apostle Paul drives it home. But the apostles do in Acts. They drive it home. Then shall the scriptures be fulfilled. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. So he takes you to say, well, here, go back into your Old Testament, go back into your scriptures that you have, Jews, and read the scriptures of the prophets. And here you will find that what is happening to me right now is a fulfillment of those scriptures. And you have those scriptures in your hands. He wasn't saying something that is impossible that they didn't have.
Right.
Did you ever see Jesus once question the authority of the Word of God? Of the copies that those people had? Did you ever see him once question the authority of the Scriptures? Never. Never. He stated them very plainly. And it was his whole ministry. Like, they had everything that he believed and everything that Christ followed came from the Scriptures. So when he rebuked them, he rebuked them with the Scriptures.
Right.
They rebuked them with they tried to rebuke Jesus with their traditions of men.
Right.
That's what they always, but what are they doing now? You can't say that King James Bible's inspired.
Right.
Why? Because of your traditions? So I have to believe what you say because of your... But I'm just opening up the Bible and I'm just speaking. And by the way, I know that I'm on safe ground because I'm not going to go to heaven. Or when I get to heaven, I mean, God's not going to say to me, you know, you taught my people to believe this book. Why did you do that? I mean, you taught them to believe that it was perfect. That I delivered it just how I said I was going to do it. Like, you taught them that. You know you're in a lot of trouble for that. You should have taught them to doubt it and question whether God really meant what he said, whether he was going to give it to them. Why didn't you teach them that? Why did you teach them my word was perfect? Right? Well, why do these jokers believe that? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Why do they believe that? Why are they afraid to state very plainly what these scriptures say?
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing. I'm reading you Scripture. I'm giving you right what the Scriptures say. My doctrine of inspiration comes from the Scriptures. That's where it comes from. My doctrine of preservation, it doesn't come from a bunch of talking heads and a bunch of professors that are overpaid, I might add. Anyway, that's another point. In the same hour, said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Come on. Right. Yeah.
Here we learn the scriptures must be fulfilled. That's the first. Jesus said it twice in the same section. He said it twice. They must be fulfilled. Well, in order for them to be fulfilled, then you have to have them. Right? You have to have them. And how can I be benefited if I don't know I have them to see that Christ fulfilled them? How could I possibly be benefited by if I don't have them? If, remember, what did Paul say? Go back to what Paul said. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is Scripture. It's given by inspiration. I mean, that's pretty plain. Seems like, anyway. Mark chapter 12, please. He says here in verse number 10, and have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Have you not read it? He's telling the Jews that you have the scriptures. You've read this, right? He said, that's me. Mark 14:49. Again, Jesus says, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Mark 15:28. He says again, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors.
Right. Yep.
Well, what scripture? The Old Testament scriptures they had. That it talks about he was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53 talks about that, right? I call Isaiah 53 the Old Testament biography of Christ, right? It explains it's the biography of who Jesus is. Just like you have the like figure of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the Old Testament. It's taught in figures. That's why Peter talks about the like figure, right?
Yeah.
He talks about those. Those are figures, and Paul talks about those types. They were taught in the Old Testament. They didn't understand everything about that, right? But some people did. Some understood a few things about that, but not everyone. So it was a little different. But they were taught. That's what Jesus expounded to them, which we'll get to here in a second. Luke 4:18. Jesus is standing up in the synagogue, and he opens the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, and he closed the book.
Yeah.
Amen. There it is. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Amen.
Right there. He explains to them what they had, what they held. Christ tells them the scriptures are fulfilled. Christ said that often to them. It's the scriptures that he was reading. They were not an original autograph. But it never had any less power or was any less inspired than the one he had right in his hands that he held and read to the people.
Right.
Why should I believe something totally different than what Jesus believed about that? Why should I believe a copy or a translation is inferior to the originals in that sense? Why should I believe that? Why should I believe that God did not inspire and preserve his word? Why should I believe that? How can I believe that? Why would it change for me when God's promises were clear of what he would do with his word?
Right.
It was clear. He is clear about it. I believe the very same thing. I believe I have the scriptures and I believe they're inspired. Luke 24:27-31. Jesus is now, after his resurrection, he comes to see the apostles. And in verse number 27, at this time, he's gonna see them. And he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So this is the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament is full of types and shadows and figures of Christ. And what did Jesus do? He took them, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded and he taught them about all of those things that were pertaining to him. Things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Watch this. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures.
Amen. Yep.
See, now you and I, we have the Holy Spirit of God. When we're saved by the grace of God, you have the Holy Spirit. So God's going to reveal things through His inspired scriptures right here, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So these scriptures are inspired, and God's Spirit is going to illuminate those things and light them up for you and teach you. And there's no reason why why your heart won't burn within you also while God speaks to you through His Word. Same thing. Amen. That's right. Jesus, He opened up their understanding. We know this was a one-time event that He was doing when He breathed on them. And we're going to actually talk about that this afternoon a little bit. But He opened up then the Scriptures. Now we have the Holy Ghost that is given to us when you are saved by the grace of God. God makes this Bible make sense to you. And not only makes it make sense to you, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Scriptures do for you. These Scriptures right here. Not nuggets in the Greek and not needing to go back to this and to go back to Hebrew. And I think I'm going to learn Hebrew. Well, you can learn it if you want to. I'm not against you learning if you want to. You can learn Greek if you want to. That's fine. If you want to. But you don't need to. Don't think in your mind that I need to draw closer to God or to learn more about the Scriptures. No, you don't have to do that. Because everything is right here for you. This is Scripture, and it's been given by inspiration of God. It is given by inspiration of God. It's right there. That's why you have it. Jesus, in the same chapter later on, in verse 44, and He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. By the way, you and I, we talked about this on Wednesday night. The spirit of knowledge and wisdom and how that was put in there for the reason that Paul was explaining to us that is God's spirit working with man's spirit. Did you know that inspiration is the same way?
Yeah, right.
It is God's spirit that works with man's spirit.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Look at the two references for inspiration in the King James Bible, and that's exactly what it's speaking of. By the way, that's why there was a lowercase s in Ephesians. That's why it was there. Why? Because when Paul asked God to give them the spirit of knowledge and revelation, the King James translators put the lowercase s in that. Why is that? Because it's God's spirit working in conjunction with man's spirit. That's why. It's a simple teaching. It's not hard to understand. That's why He put it there. That's why it is there. Right? Later on, there have been people that have personalized those. And, you know, and I'm not done studying the issue of 1 John 5, 7, and 8. Or I think it's, is it 8? I think it might be 8. But I'm still going to keep studying that because I haven't looked at that specifically yet. And I want to before I make, you know, where I stand on that issue. But the thing is that what I read from, and I think it was Grady, he said, it was Ruckman in his book here. He said that later on that people personalize those. Like they, to make them capital, like they personalize that's what was done, that it wasn't, because when I looked at the where Ruckman wrote it in here, he had all lowercase for those spirit, water, and was it blood, spirit? Well, yes, somebody capitalized those or personalized those and made them big or whatever, but really that they were small. Or lowercase. So, anyway, there's been disagreement about that. There's been questions about that. But I do believe there's a point to that, to where God, when His Spirit is working with man, that is lowercase. It appears that's the way that it's been taught, you know, from, and not just modern day. It's been taught like that for a while. So, anyway, we will definitely study that issue out, though, in the future. And, by the way, that shouldn't make you dread. That should excite you to be able to study it and kind of pound those things out. You know what I mean? And learn from those things. We all can learn. We can all can grow. And you know, maybe we don't all come to the same understanding of it, you know, but God will give wisdom.
Amen.
Right? We'll pray for that spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation, right? Oh, that's inspiration, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, don't pray about that. You might be a heretic. Yeah, you might be, right? And He said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ. He always takes them back to the Scriptures as the authority. John 2:22, "When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." There you have the Scripture, and then you have the words that word that Jesus said, right? You have that. You're to believe the Scriptures, the ones that you hold in your hand. The scriptures are not something in a dead language. They are something in a living language, and that you have in your hands, and they are given by inspiration of God. And by the way, do you think God knew that English would be spoken in every airport across the entire world? And that a great percentage of the world would speak English? So it's almost like you think he translated that Bible into English on purpose, like he did that on purpose. And then he had the crown do it over there in England for on purpose, like for a reason. If that was wasn't just like a bunch of men that got together and decided this would be a great idea. That it was like all the providence of James coming to the crown, Brother Joshua. We talked about that, right? James coming to the throne and everything. I mean, all of it is God's guiding hand through it all. Yeah, the fall of Constantinople, all of it. Yeah, I mean, it's what God hath wrought, right? We believe that. Well, I do anyway. John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You are commanded by God to search the scriptures. You should be searching the scriptures. You and I should be. You search them for Jesus. And if you're looking for Jesus, you'll find him in the very scriptures that you hold in your hand. If the scriptures that you hold in your hand were not the very words of God, you could not find Christ in them, nor could they be fulfilled. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That was another verse. I don't know how I got that in there, but that's a good one too. John 7:37. Turn there, please. John 7:37. You notice how Jesus is always putting the emphasis on the Scriptures, always. By the way, that's where you and I should put our emphasis, on everything in this life. When you're having soul trouble, make your emphasis the Scriptures. When you're having mind trouble, make your emphasis the Scriptures. When you're having emotional trouble, make your emphasis the Scriptures. God gave you the Scriptures for that purpose, to thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. Right here. He gave you the Scriptures for that reason. So I don't care if it's depression or what it is. It doesn't matter. God showed me that, well, I'll teach you through all of it in my book. You're not going to go somewhere else to get your answers. If you do, you'll get bad ones. But if you go to my book, you'll get the ones that you need. You may not always like them, because no chastening of the Lord, right, is joyous, but grievous. But it yieldeth the peace. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that believe. Right, them that are exercised thereby, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's how it works. It's going to be grievous at first, but that's okay. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst," by the way, this isn't interesting. Do you know what it means to cry, don't you? When he's talking about that, when it's saying cried in this fashion, what he means? He's preaching. He's yelling. He's raising his voice. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice. What is Jesus doing here? He's crying out. He's preaching. No, Jesus always walked around. He kind of whispered and he talked really light. And really soft and really quiet. Yeah, that's how he preached to 5,000 people. He was a real quiet guy. Right? Yeah, he just, like the one guy said, he just drew in the sand. You should just, you're evangelism, you should just draw in the sand. Okay, that'll work. It's for, yeah. It's a layer of ice underneath it. But what did Jesus do? He cried out with passion. That's what he's doing here. He's crying out with passion. But men want to lull you to sleep today. They want you to be lulled to sleep today. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet.
Amen.
And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? See, if you don't want to believe God, he'll let you be confused. Man, he'll let you get all twisted up. And when you depart from truth, God will definitely let you get twisted up. When you leave the path of simplicity, you know, when there was a time in my ministry, probably 6 years ago or 7 years ago now, about 7 years ago, where the Lord had showed me, you left the simple path of simplicity and you got yourself in trouble. Because you went, and God showed me, no, you're going to crave that simplicity and you're going to look to my word. You're going to go back to my book and you're going to weigh everything by my word. And I'm going to ensure it because I'm going to give you this thorn in your flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet you to make sure that you check with this book every time you do something. That you're guided by this book and not by your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, your wisdom that you think you have, but this book. Amen. And he taught me with it. And God taught me with it. He taught me that, you know what, your thinking's got to be scriptural thinking. And when you get wrong about something, if you go wrong about something, you're going to get confused. Because and the way to fix that is to go back to the plain path of duty. Go back to the truth. Go back to what God's Word says, not what you feel, not what you think, but what it plainly says. Go to the Scriptures. If anything that you learn today, it'll be go to the Scriptures. It'll be the Scriptures or the inspired Word of God. These Scriptures that I hold in my hand. Okay, John chapter 10, verse number 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. I like that, don't you? So I want to just point out a few things. Number one, the scriptures are the law of God. That's what Jesus said, right? These scriptures, they're the law of God. Now, we understand the difference in the law and the gospel, but as a whole, these are the law of God. Because what is the law in the New Testament? Grace. Yeah, the law of liberty. It's grace, right? We understand that it's not the same as Old Testament law, but it's New Testament grace, right, that we have. So we get that, but it's all the law of the Lord is perfect, right? Converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are true, are sure. I think it's sure. Making wise the simple, more to be desired are they than gold. You have much fine gold. Amen. That's how you ought to look at them. Number one, it's the scriptures, all of God. Number two, the scriptures are the word of God. You see what it says? Is it not written in your law? I said ye are gods. And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, the scriptures are the word of God. You see that?
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Number three, the scriptures cannot be broken. So those 3 points we see right there that Jesus said in that. Powerful, isn't it? They cannot be broken. And Jesus was talking about copies, not original manuscripts, by the way. That's right. Jesus believed in the preservation of scriptures and the inspiration of the scriptures through copies.
Right.
Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?
Right.
Do you doubt that God can deliver this word to you perfect? Doubt it not. Amen. John 13:18-19. Jesus speaks. You notice how many times this is Jesus speaking so far about the scriptures? I want you to try to understand this a little bit more specifically. Jesus is God. He's standing in front of them. He is God in the flesh. And what is he constantly pointing them to? Yes. He's pointing them to the scriptures constantly, though he is God in the flesh.
Right.
He's pointing them to the scriptures constantly because of their need for them. And Jesus lived by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, didn't he? He said he did. Man shall not live by bread alone. He's a man. Right? He became a man. Right? Fully God, fully man. Right. Don't ever take away from either of those two. You want to get messed up? Flip those two around.
Yeah.
Look at things that are pertaining to his incarnation as things pertaining to his Godhead, and you'll be a heretic. And if you switch it around again and you do it the other way, if you look at it, things pertaining to his manhood and you put on things for his Godhead, you'll be a heretic too. You'll be confused. You have to rightly divide those things and see exactly what the scriptures say about that. Fully God, fully man.
Amen.
Amen. And if you learn that, if you get that down, then nothing will like shake you.
That's right.
You won't be like, whoa, wait, why did Jesus do that? That's weird. I thought he was God. Yeah, but he's fully man.
Amen.
And he did it for you.
Amen.
That's why he suffered like that. That's why he took all the devils coming after him, and the attacks and the denying of the flesh that he took and never doing anything to benefit himself. He did it for you as a man, to come as a man and to die for your sins.
Amen.
But fully God at the same time. Right? Praise the Lord. John 13:18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He's always taking them back. Oh, you want to know who did it? Okay. Look in the scriptures. You want to know who's going to betray me? Okay. He said it. Look what he said. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He said it in other ways too. He explained to them. Right? They dipped the sop with him. Remember that? He told them. But they'd have to look in the scriptures and maybe God didn't reveal that to them. Because they would have stopped him. They would have tried to stop Judas. Who wouldn't, right? Peter would have. He'd have been like, all right, take him. Peter would have chopped his head off. He'd have been like, whoop. And that would have been funny seeing Jesus put Judas's head back on. Right? An ear was enough, right? But putting his whole head back on? Well, that would have been interesting. Nobody's ever successfully done that. Let's see, right? Yeah. Yeah, he's God. He can just make the clay, right? Just put it right in there. He would have done it, right? But that's not the way God wanted it to be. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. You know how you believe that Jesus is he? You believe it in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and the inspired Word of God. Do you see that? It's the Holy Ghost that lightens that up for you and shows you. And he shows you from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Savior of the world. That's how you learn that. You learn that by the Holy Ghost in the Scriptures. But Jesus is always pointing them back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Scriptures.
Amen.
He's constantly pointing them back to it. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Again, he says, if you want to know, if you want to understand, go to the Bible. Go to the scriptures if you want to understand something. If you want to understand something that's going on in your mind and heart and the challenges that you have and the trials that you have, I go to the scriptures. That's where I go to get my answers. That's right. It is faith. It's believing God.
Amen.
You, I just, the answer's there. You believe it, right? The answer's there for everything. Everything. Jesus used the scriptures as his authority, the ones he held in his hands. The scriptures are what verified who he was. He fulfilled the scriptures. What you believe about Jesus and about the scriptures themselves must come from the scriptures. I don't need to take external authors of people. I read after many men. I don't have a problem with that, right? I'm not saying that that's wrong. What I'm saying is, though, if what they say is contrary to what the scriptures say, then I throw out everything they say about that they're wrong about, and I follow the truth. I believe what God says. I believe what the scriptures say, because this is God speaking to me through his word. John 19:24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. That's that again, in the scriptures, right? That the scripture might be fulfilled. Right there. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Knowing that everything was, all things were now accomplished. Because he knew the scriptures and because he's God, oh yeah, the last thing I need to do right here is say, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Remember in another portion of scripture, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's faith. When you die, you say the same thing. Why? Because of the power of the resurrection. Right? It's the power of the resurrection. It's the power of life. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I don't need, you know, you know, you hear the Lutherans and the Catholics, they commend that body. I commend this to you. Well, you don't. No, the commending's already been done.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
John 19:36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Had to be fulfilled. And they would know it, right? They would, the disciples, when he showed them, what did he do? He expounded unto them all things that were in the scriptures. That's what he did to prepare them for ministry. He was with them for 3 years, and then at the end, before he left, he expounded them all things that were in the scriptures. You want to see a man that needs to get ready for the ministry? How do you train preachers? And how do you train for the ministry? With the scriptures. It's time in the book.
Yeah.
It's living for Christ. It's being faithful to God and learning the Word of God. Right? That's what prepares a man. That's what God uses. And He gives us the exact understanding of how to do that in that sense. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. John 20, verse number 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. He's going to show them after when he meets them. Ought not Christ to have suffered, you fools and slow of heart, to believe all that was written? That's what he said. A.W. Pink wrote a great article on that years ago, many years ago. He's been dead for a while, but it is called Christian Fools. It's a really good one if you've never read it. Called Christian Fools. And they said, can Christians be fools? Yeah. They can be foolish, yeah. And that's what it's called. Slow of heart to believe all that was written concerning Christ, right? And that's what Christ said to them. All right, let's see here. I think we'll stop right here. And we will finish this up in the afternoon. And hopefully I'll get to that article. Oh, wow, I got a lot more to go, yeah. But, yeah, what's that? I got a lot more to go. I got a lot more scripture to go. We may not get to this article today, but that's okay. But we'll get through the scriptures, which is why we're here, amen? But we'll, when we get time, but we got a lot more. I want to go through all these scriptures with you. I think it's profitable to do that. We haven't done that type of a study for a while, and it's good for us to understand. But what I want to drive home to you is this one thing that all the scriptures are. What does God's Word say? And how are the scriptures used, and how are they to be used? They're to determine everything. Everything that you believe, this book is to determine. Yes, internally. It has all the weight and evidence needed. I like doing the history. I don't have a problem with that. I like to teach some of that because I think it's profitable also, but not as profitable as the scriptures. They are profitable. They teach us all things. So we'll get into them again this afternoon. Amen? And hopefully you'll learn some more. We'll all learn some more together. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that we have them and we hold them. Lord, we're not looking for them. We're looking through them. We're searching them. We're studying them. Help us to be obedient to them. And help us to respect them and revere them and fear your word, Lord, and be in awe of your word, and to love it and to cherish it as our as more than our necessary food. Help us, Father, to do that. Lord, if there be one or two here that this book is dark to, because they've never been saved by the grace of God, may they see Christ and Him crucified in the Scriptures today. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's what you said, Jesus. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'd help those to be saved, that they would live by the Scriptures. Help us all to live by them. Thank you, Father, for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.